Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being who you are, the God who deserves all glory. And Lord, help us not to search for that glory for ourselves. Because Lord, we don't deserve any of it. And titles and positions of power are so attractive to us. But Lord, they eat us up inside. So Lord, we pray that we would be as Paul, that we would understand that the only thing that matters is that we do what you call us to do. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Today there's a movement of people who try and call themselves apostle. And you can see them in a lot of the Pentecostal churches, people putting themselves that title. But apostle isn't the only title that everybody tries to use to get honor. It could be anything from doctor to rabbi to pastor to the one I really hate. They call me it still sometimes, but I hate it. Reverend. Not reverend. You don't revere me. And then there's the varieties of that, you know, your holiness. And then for kings, your highness. We love the titles. It's nothing new. It happened back in Paul's day, where people also were trying to say, I'm an apostle. Because they understood that apostles had a high position in the church. But what they didn't understand is that position had nothing to do with them. In fact, Paul himself in Galatians chapter 1 said, it's not about me at all. He says, if even I come and preach another gospel than the one I've preached to you, my title doesn't matter. I'm accursed. See, because Paul understood something about being an apostle. And he says, as we're looking in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he calls himself an eminent apostle, a high apostle. And he puts it there in chapter 11 and verse 5. He says, I consider that I'm not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. He says, I'm no less than Peter or John or James, though by this time James the apostle had died, or Matthew. I'm not no less than any of these. But I want you to understand where my greatness, Paul says, lies. And it's not in me. When I talk myself about being an eminent apostle, I want you to remember that there are two words in that phrase, eminent and apostle. And the word apostle is the important one, and it means a sent one. Now, a sent one is only as important as the person who sent him and the message that that person has to deliver. Let's say the president of the United States, at this point, Trump, if this sermon is listened to way in the future, it might be somebody else, but at this point, it's President Trump. President Trump calls you into his office and says, I want you to take a message. And so you say, okay, Mr. President, I'm going to take this message. And he says, I want you to go to Russia and I want you to tell Putin that if he doesn't straighten his act out, I'm going to bomb him at midnight. That's a pretty important message. You may be nobody. You may be some guy off the street. But if you're carrying that message from the man who holds the red button, you're an important person. Not because of you, but because of your message. Now, let's say it's President Trump and he calls you into his office and he says, I want you to take a message. And that message is to the janitor down the end of the White House that one of the toilets needs cleaning. It's a message from the same important person, but there's a little less importance to the message. Though you better get that toilet cleaner, you might be out of a job. So, being an eminent apostle has to do with two things. One, who sent you, and two, what he sent you with. You don't matter. See, you could be a stutterer, and you could be, you know, have your hair coming out like this, and you can have an IQ of 65. And if Trump puts the message in your hand to go to Putin, and you go to Putin and says, Putin, the president of the United States says, he's going to bomb you tonight at midnight. You sound like a drunk hick. But you know what? If that's who the message came from, you're still one heck of an important messenger. And this one goes to the point of the fact that Dan said, look at Paul. Paul is nothing. He's old. He's bent over. He can't talk well. He's boring. Just ask Eutychus, who fell out the window asleep. That's Paul speaking. Paul says, guilty. Yeah, that's me. But I'm still not inferior to Peter and John, because I have the same sender and I have the same message. So what makes an eminent apostle? And in our own sphere, what makes us eminent in anything we do? Because all of us, we may not have the title of apostle, but all of us have been sent by the same God, and all of us have the same gospel to preach. And so when we look at our own ministries and our own lives, and the world tempts us to go by how we appear or what we do and how we dress and how high up we are and what our edumacation is, how do we answer? Because, you know, there are people out there that have much greater educations than you and than I do, but have the wrong message and are being sent by the wrong sender. Oh, they've gone to big seminaries and they can do Greek and Hebrew so well that I don't even follow the first couple of words they've said. But then they come out and give a message that's against Scripture. And they say, but look at me. I am an eminent one. The first thing is we got to go by the content and not the style. Verse 6, he says, well, I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. He says, I may not be able to speak real clear, but I know what I'm speaking about. I have the knowledge of what God wants me to share, and I can do it, and I'm not behind any of you in that. That's what Paul is saying. So it has to do with what you give, not how you give it. Today we are so caught up in the how. If you sound like you didn't get out past sixth grade, your message is put off. But you know, it's what you say that really matters. Does it go according to Scripture? What's the content? Not how it's, we live in sound bites. We live in this time where how you say it and what exact words you use matter much more than what you're saying. So that when you compare, for instance, and I'm not going to do the politics, but you compare Obama and Trump, who was a better speaker? Obama was certainly a better speaker. Or you look at Clinton and Bush, who's a better speaker? Clinton was certainly a better speaker. That says nothing, one way or the other, about what they said. It's the same with preachers. There are some preachers who are just wonderful speakers. But what comes out of their mouth is emptiness. Oh, Lord, help me never to be one of those. Content, not style. Second, an open life that matches your message. In verse 6, Well, let's look at verse 5, the end of verse 5. For we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. He says, when we went there, in 11:5, we lived what we spoke. When we spoke Christ and the sacrifice that Christ gave and the gospel that he gave, we lived our life accordingly. That's important for a messenger. A messenger may be uneducated. A messenger may not have a lot of speaking style, but a messenger cannot live a life of hypocrisy. Now, do we all fall at that sometimes? Certainly, Peter did. Paul says in Galatians he had to talk to him to his face because Peter fell. And I'm sure Paul fell too, but Paul didn't at this point tell us of his failures. Paul had pride sometimes and did wrong things just like we do. But as a whole, when you took his life as a whole, Paul lived what he preached. And you know, the world says there are a lot of hypocrites in churches, and that's why they don't come. Now, the fact of the matter is, there are a lot of hypocrites in bars and businesses too, and they still go there. But the difference is, the message of the bar and the business has nothing to do with being a hypocrite. At a bar, all they want you to do is drink your tequila. At a business, all they want you to do is buy their things. But when we're talking about the holy God, we had better be living what we preach. Because the world will judge them. Christ gave them the authority to. He says, by their fruits you will know them. That's why how we live is so important. Because the world is looking and we say, well, don't judge me. God gave the world the right to judge us because we are his messengers. So Paul says, we came among you and we were manifest among you clearly, transparently, in all things. Thoroughly manifested among you in all things. Next, we avoid conflict of interest. One of the things that happens so often today is people see Christians and they see the message of giving, the message of Christ came and gave himself and all was for the people that he was dying to save. And then they say, see this Christian say, I need you to give me money because I need 4 jets. And that happened last year. As one of these preachers says, I really need a 4th jet. What do you need 4 jets? Can you fly in 4 jets at once? Even the president just has Air Force One. What do you need 4 jets for? I think you're in there to give and people, and people look at it that way. Now, he said in 1 Corinthians 9 that it's okay for a pastor to be paid. But Paul also said, as a sent one, that he chose not to use that right with the Corinthians. Why? Because the Corinthians were the kind of church that was going to pay you and then say, look how much we're giving you. You're doing it for the money. Because they were a carnal church. So Paul says in verse 6, verse 7, did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel to you free of charge? Paul knew his church and he says, if I go in and preach and charge them, they're going to look at me as doing it for the money. So he said, I don't want this conflict of interest. I know these guys. They're going to judge me against it. Now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, I would have been right to charge. A laborer is worthy of his hire. But you people are not at the point yet where you can understand that. So he says, I'm not going to cause the problem in your mind, even though I have the right to do so. Now, did Paul not take money from anyone? No, he did. He had a support team. He says in verse 7, in verse 8, he said, I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. Now, when he says robbed, what he meant is that church that was supporting him could have used themselves. It's not like Paul went into the treasury and said, I'm taking 100 from here so I can use it over. It was saying, I basically burdened other churches to support me, and they were willing to support me so that I could come and preach to you for free. It says, money's got to come from somewhere. He made tents. He also worked with his hands, but every time you do that, the time you're spending making a tent is time you can't be spending doing other kinds of ministry. But Paul had to do both, and he was willing to do both. He didn't have to be a burden to this church that wasn't spirity to give. And what I'm saying is here, he could have asked the Corinthians, but the important thing for Paul was the message. One of the things I've always had problems with is people who travel and they ask, well, how much will you come for? And some people, you know, a lot of these today, it's 50,000, 40,000, 70,000 for me. I got to come, leave my, you know, as long as I have money to eat and a place to stay, minister. Especially if you're single like Paul was. If you got a family that has to eat also, then you got to think about that. But if you're a single minister and someone calls you to minister and you can go out and say, well, I need, you know, food and shelter. Yeah, this huge salary because, hey, you know, I've got 5 doctoral degrees and 16 books and I'm someone. Paul said, no, I've built a people behind me who ministry to the point where they will sacrifice to the point where it hurts so that I can go and minister to you, you carnal Corinthians. Because what's important for me, says Paul, is the message. People sacrifice for the message. It's a hard thing because there's always this, I've got to plan for my future. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to build my egg. And Christ says, tonight your soul's going to be required of you. Paul was an eminent apostle. He would have lived royally like religious leaders have throughout history. But Paul says, no. What's important is for me to get out and share the message. It's all for the benefit of the receiver. It's all for the benefits of those who are going to get it. He says in verse 9 and 10, he says, and when I was present with you and was in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren that came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so I will keep myself. Paul says, and this is a rebuke, because the Corinthians should have been willing to give without strings. They should have been willing, but they weren't there. He says, I had to get those people from Macedonia. He had already boasted of them. Remember when we were talking about the famine in Jerusalem and the giving? He had already boasted about the Macedonians, how they were willing to give above and beyond. And he's continuing with this now. He's saying, because you guys aren't ready. But that doesn't mean that I want to leave you, Paul says. I'm coming anyway because you need the message I have. It's for your benefit that I live. And I want you to pray for me as a pastor that would be my heart, that I would say, I'm not here to build my empire, whether it be small or big. If I go home to be with the Lord tomorrow and do my job, I've done what I'm supposed to. What did Christ say? He says, when you've done everything, you look up at Christ and you say, I'm a what? an unprofitable servant because I've done what I was supposed to. Nothing more. Let Christ be the one that says, well done, you good and faithful servant. Let him be the one that says that, not me. It's done from love. That's the only thing that matters in the messenger here. He says in verse 11, why? Because I do not love you? He says, God knows. God knows how many nights I've stayed up crying over the Corinthians. God knows how I felt when I wrote this sorrowful letter. God knows that you're not just numbers to me. God knows that every time I hear of a good thing from your church, I rejoice. And every time I hear a bad thing that comes from your church, I cry. God knows that I love you. That everything I do is for your good. Because I want to give you a blessing. That none of it is for my exaltation. None of it is for my growth. None of it is that you should consider me something special. I am only a sent one. I am only an apostle. Someone who is sent. Done in love. He says, God knows. I don't really care, Paul says, whether you, Claudius, or you, Chloe, or you this, or you that, whether you all see me and think, man, that guy is just the hottest thing since sliced bread. I don't care if you put me beside Apollos and say, well, you know, Apollos is a much better speaker than Paul. And you put me beside Peter and say, well, you know, Peter, gosh, Peter's one of the original ones, and look at Peter. I don't care what you put me beside and compare me. Those that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. So I don't care how you look at me. Just listen to the message and feel the fact that God loves you, that he knows I love you, and whatever else happens, let it fall where it will. He says, what I want to do is I want to cut off the opportunity that other people would boast on themselves. He says in verse 12, he says, but what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things in which they boast. See, because the rest of the apostles, with quotation marks, with big air quotes, were coming and saying, I'm an apostle, look at me, treat me this way. And the Corinthians were saying, ooh, look at this one. He could speak. Look at how he comes in and he charges this huge fee. He must be important. Because if he wasn't, he couldn't charge that kind of money. And we got to get him up this huge hotel and put him up in the presidential suite, because this is, you know, Claudius the super apostle. And he takes off his toga. It's got a sigma underneath. Can't be an S because it's got to be Greek. And he's got extra revelation and this, and then here comes Paul, you know. Paul. That's old stuff. Paul's old school. This is a new guy. And they boasted about all their knowledge and all their, how good they were. And, oh, look, I'm the new revelation. Paul says, just look at my life. Look at their life. I'm going to cut off their opportunity for boasting. Because you, he says, tolerate them. You let them come in. You give them your money. You give them your time. You pay your money. Buy their books. And their books are full of junk. And when I say full of junk, you should read some of the stuff that was coming out. You know, these people today that talk about the Gospel of Thomas say, oh, it's a lost book of the Bible. It should be in there with the Gospel of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. No, why isn't the Gospel of Thomas in the Bible? They got to read the Gospel of Thomas. It's got some really weird stuff in it. It ends with Peter asking Jesus, well, what about those women? How can they get in the kingdom of God? And Jesus says to Peter, well, Jesus is going to make them into men, and then they can be part of the kingdom of God. That's how the Gospel of Thomas ends. It's weird stuff. And they were coming out with all these teachings. The Gnostics, the others were coming, teaching all sorts of strange stuff about Christ. And the Corinthians and other churches were saying, oh, this is new. This is good. Wow. Super apostles. And Paul says, I'm going to just cut off all the opportunity. Just look at my life, look at their lives, and you make the decision, Corinthians. Because as we talked about last time, it's important that we have the right Jesus. The Jesus who came down, who was God, took on flesh, came down, died on the cross, paid for your sins, rose from the dead, who gives you salvation by grace through faith alone. The Jesus who sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for you. It's important that we have the right Spirit. The Comforter. God, the third person of the Trinity. God who comes down and lives within you, but also intercedes with groanings that cannot be uttered. The God who convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. It's important that we have the right Jesus. It's important we have the right Spirit. It's important, it's vital that we have the right gospel. The good news that I've just shared, that Jesus came down to pay for your sin, that he paid it all. And that salvation is by grace through faith alone. And none of these false apostles preached that. There's always something. There's always a little works that are stuck in behind. Like, oh yeah, you're saved by grace through faith, but then you got to keep working or he'll throw you out. You know, it's like this physicist today. You know, they say, well, like Stephen Hawking, he goes, well, if there's the laws of gravity, then universes can come out of nothing. Well, if there's the laws of gravity, it's not nothing, is it? If there's really nothing, then there's no laws of gravity. They always stick something in there, make it sound good. No, it's just totally wrong. Oh, yeah, you're saved by grace through faith, but you got to keep working. They stick it in like Stephen Hawking stuck his laws of gravity in the nothing. But Paul was preaching the right gospel, the right Jesus, the right Spirit, and Satan is a master of disguises. Satan is a master of making himself look like what he isn't. And that's why you and I and everybody who Paul's words came to need to see that doctrine and teaching is important. That just because someone says Jesus does not mean he's our brother. It's got to be the right Jesus. And just because someone says I was sent by God does not mean they were. Because Satan's apostles come and they tell you the same thing. They say, I was sent by God. And their message and their lives prove the opposite. Two final words for you and me. One, keep your eyes open. Keep your ears open for what the preachers are saying. But two, make sure that you as I must make sure that I am living the life of someone who's been commissioned to share the gospel of Christ. We may not have the title apostle, but we have the same message as Paul did. And we're to share it to every creature. And so the things that made Paul great as an apostle are the same things that are going to make you and I, make you and me, keep my grammar right, great as a Christian. Dear Heavenly Father, help us now to follow Paul's example and be eminent. Be great commissioned soldiers of yours, so that the world would see not us, but you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.